And from the KTOO Newsroom, I'm Yvonne Cormery. Juneau's Bartlett Regional Hospital is the first, and so far the only hospital in the state to be cited for COVID-19 workplace safety violations. Hospital employees tipped off state investigators. Claire Strempel reports for KTOO, the city-owned hospital racked up more than a dozen serious violations.
Lori Bell reached her breaking point over masks. Bell used to work at the registration desk in Bartlett Regional Hospital's emergency department.
We basically did all the grunt work before the patient would be seen by a nurse or a doctor.
She says they had a lot of exposure to the virus when the COVID-19 pandemic hit. But the hospital decided her team was low risk and gave them one blue paper surgical mask per shift. Each time she cited federal guidelines and asked for more protection,
I was told that, in not so polite terms, that I didn't know what I was talking about. I didn't understand the science, even though everybody could go on the CDC website and see what was recommended, and that I should just stick to what I know.
But one day, a COVID patient came in whose partner wasn't consistently masking and was unruly near her desk.
He was aggressive and yelling, and he refused. He camped out in the hallway just outside of the ER, but he would come in and pace in front of my desk, yelling at me that he needed to be back there with her.
She says a manager gave the man a rapid test and allowed him to stay. She found out later he tested positive for COVID-19. And that was only after another nurse called her to warn her that she had been exposed. Bell complained to her supervisors. Then she filed a complaint internally. She told a union rep. She says nothing changed.
Anybody, the hospital, they will tell you the reporting system is a joke. And most people don't even bother using it. But I did because I felt like, at least I can say, I went through the appropriate channels as I was instructed to do, and it did nothing for me.
So Bell reported the incident to regulators. She left the hospital in December 2020. She said supervisors and management weren't keeping her safe. After Bell blew the whistle, inspectors from the state's health department and the state's Department of Labor showed up to figure out what was going on at the hospital. Then the violations started rolling in. The state found more than a dozen of them. Most were serious. There were incidents of workplace violence. An employee with COVID-19 symptoms continued to work with patients before a positive test result came in. More than 130 employees never learned how to deal with bloodborne pathogens, despite being regularly exposed to them on the job. Others hadn't gotten medical clearance or been properly fitted for N95 masks and respirators. The board didn't have a public meeting to discuss the report's findings. KTOO spoke to a number of current and former employees of Bartlett for this story, as well as the board and city leadership. The only Bartlett leader to take personal responsibility for the workplace safety issues was former CEO Rose Lawhorn.
The buck stops with me, but I can't do this alone.
Lawhorn took over leadership of the hospital after the complaints had been filed in April of 2021, so she inherited the problem. Lawhorn had worked at the hospital for decades, and she said she wasn't surprised by the citations. Instead, she was ready to make changes.
I have this gift of authority that I can empower them and say, yes, I approve. Yes, go ahead and provide additional training to the people who you feel need it.
Lawhorn said she hired a quality director. Managers tightened up oversight on things like symptom screening and fit tests for masks and respirators. But Lawhorn didn't have a lot of time to address the issues at the hospital. After just 6 months on the job, she was fired by the hospital's board of directors. It was the first sign of instability that turned into a landslide of resignations. All but one of the hospital's senior leadership team left in the last year. Most of the positions are currently held by interim replacements, who should be gone in the next 6 months, including the CEO. He refused an interview for this story. That leaves the question of accountability up in the air. The city and the hospital's board point to hospital leadership, but those seats have all turned over. The state kind of let the violations slide, too. Inspectors slapped Bartlett with almost $150,000 in fines for workplace safety violations, but the state labor commissioner reduced that by nearly 70%. The hospital won't pay that fine either. It's taking advantage of a state law that lets it use the money to improve workplace safety instead. One of the things Bartlett bought with those funds? The respiratory protection that Lori Bell wanted so much in 2020. Reporting with Rasha McChesney in Juneau, I'm Claire Strempel.
In other news, a new episode of the kids' show Molly of Denali centers around a character named Vera, who is Filibascan. That's Filipino and Athabascan. Those who worked on the show say that representation of Filipino Athabascans will allow more kids to see themselves and their lives on TV.
Hey everyone, it's me, Molly!
Molly of Denali.
Let's go!
If that theme song sounds familiar, you already know about the PBS show that's making history, that stars Molly, an Alaska Native child, exploring the state with her friends. One episode of the new season explores Filipino identity through Vera Malakas, the show's Filibascan or Filipino Athabascan character.
Are you okay, Vera?
I was thinking about my mom and how she misses Sinuguan festivals back in the Philippines. I wish we had them here.
Vera has been a side character in previous episodes of the show, but show writer Vera Starbird wanted to see more of her. For Starbird, who is Tlingit and Denaina, Filipino culture was a large part of her community growing up in Alaska.
I really thought lumpia was this indigenous Alaska Native food, and I won't even say how old I was when I realized it was really not.
In the episode, Vera, the character, wants to surprise her mom by making lumpia, a Filipino spring roll, for a cultural festival, so she and Molly have to steal the recipe without her mom noticing. Starbird said that food is a great opportunity for children to learn about other cultures.
Food is one of those underestimated pieces of culture as far as its impact, and that became an important part of the episode as far as here's how we can share culture, here's how we can mix culture, and that is understandable to kids. They get it. They get that this food is different and this food is familiar to them, and mixing them could be cool, and this is what you can learn about a culture from literally tasting it.
Starbird invited E.J. David to contribute to this episode. David is a professor of psychology at the University of Alaska Anchorage. He's also a father to four Filipino Athabascan children, and he's the one who coined the phrase Filibascan.
Seeing yourself on mainstream TV and knowing that a lot of people put a lot of work into it and a lot of people put a lot of resource into it, you know, it legitimizes who you are. It tells you that your identity and your culture and your heritage, that those things are valuable, right?
David wanted it to be clear that the show didn't make it seem like all Filipino culture was the same. Vera Malakas is Kampampagan, like David, and celebrating a Kampampagan festival made it so her identity was specific and real. And David was excited that Vera's last name, Malakas, means strong in the Tagalog language. Both David and Starbird grew up without representation of themselves on kids' shows, so this show means preventing that experience for future generations.
And so then the opposite message is conveyed when you don't see yourself on these shows, right? It makes you, you know, the message that it conveys to you is that who you are and your identity and your heritage and your culture are not valuable enough. They're not worthy enough to be invested in, right? To put resources in. And so that's what I felt growing up.
Before Molly of Denali first aired, Starbird went to the PBS station in Boston, to the children's program wing.
And you look around and there's Curious George and Clifford the Big Red Dog and Arthur, and realizing, oh gosh, Molly is going to be a part of this, and there's no Alaska Native child that's ever going to not have that experience of seeing themselves on the screen.
For Alaska's Filipino population, that also becomes true.
The Filibascan Chef!
The Filibascan Chefs episode premieres this week on PBS stations and PBS.org. In Juneau, I'm Yvonne Crumry. In other news, Tlingit and Haida President Richard Thayaish Peterson is in Washington, D.C. to be present for the reauthorization of the Violence Against Women Act, or VAWA. The legislation is part of the funding act for this fiscal year. U.S. President Joe Biden helped write the original piece of legislation. Peterson says he was impressed with the president's remarks on Wednesday.
It was exciting. It was pretty emotional. You know, it is a needed law, and Alaska inclusion is so important. it was really great to be able to share that with friends, you know, who had been champions on VAWA, like Michelle Demert, our former Chief Justice for our tribal courts.
Peterson said the legislation recognizes tribal sovereignty by upholding tribal courts. This is KTOO.